Blog Talk Radio.
Listeners on the Pacific Coast, and good afternoon to those on the East Coast from Washington State to Washington, D.C. Today, October 4th, 2009, we bring you a Sunday special episode of Voices for Justice. Our guest today will be taking your calls, so please call in to 347-838-8622. Again, the call-in number is 347-838-8622. If you call in, please turn down your computer speakers and any background noises. We want to hear you and your questions and not get the feedback. You can also log on to blogtalkradio.com/Helping Heroes Productions. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com, Helping Heroes, H-E-L-P-I-N-G-H-E-R-O-E-S. Mark Williams has spent over 35 years in radio and television news industry. He is now offering his services and experiences as a freelancer. When his two businesses, Mr. News Productions and Halifax Area News, aren't keeping him busy, folks can catch him on Nancy Grace and Headline News, reporting on high-profile Florida news and cases. Two of these cases have been the Haley Cummings and Kaylee Anthony cases. We welcome our Associated Press Award-winning reporter, Mark Williams, with us today. He'll be here in a few minutes, but in the meantime, one of the bands that have dedicated a song to Lindsey Baum, it's called Where's Our Angel, and we'd like to play that for you right now. And again, this is for Lindsey Baum in the state of Washington, McCleary, who has been missing since June.
Come back home.
You are listening to Where's Our Angel from Eric Paul. He made that song for Lindsey Baum, who's been missing from McCleary, Washington, since June of this year. I believe Jonathan Weinock has also made a song for Kaylee Anthony, and we also have the band Is Light From Your Eyes that you've heard on our show many times for Amber Dubois. But right now, what we'd like to do is talk a little bit about the cases in Florida with our guest today, Mark Williams. Mark, are you with us?
I'm here. I'm here, Michelle. No problem whatsoever.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm just doing fine. It's a beautiful Sunday here in the state of Pennsylvania because I'm headed down to catch a train back to Florida. But it's been a beautiful day here. It's been a beautiful week.
Oh, wonderful. Well, drive carefully while you're getting to Washington, and we appreciate you being with us this morning my time and afternoon your time, of course. But why don't we start a little bit in regards to the news this past week in Florida on the Jessica Lunsford case of John Curry. What happened with him? And in my opinion, it couldn't have happened to a better person.
Well, John Cooey was a convicted sex offender, and he moved back to Florida in 2005. He was up in the Savannah area for a long time. He moved back to Florida in 2005 and lived in a trailer park, the same trailer park that little Jessica Lunsford lived in. He initially kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and then buried this 9-year-old child alive. He died this past week of natural causes, they say. One other media outlet said he died of cancer at a Jacksonville hospital. Michelle, he got what he deserved. He got the ultimate price. He was going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and that's literally what he does, what he did, and now he's somebody else is dealing with him now.
Have you had the opportunity, Mark, of speaking with Jessica's father or any of her family members on the developments that took place out there this week?
No, not this week. But I know Mr. Lunsford has been very active in child right cases and in missing children's cases. I worked for a media outlet at one time. We had 3 FMers and 1 AM station, and he would show up every now and again to push his cause, and they would put him on the air. And I know I've used some of his cuts in the past, supplied by Florida News Network and some of the major networks. And you know, he was just a common guy out there trying to make trying to drive truck and make ends meet for he and his daughter. And Mr. Cooey stepped into their lives and really messed it up.
Was he like targeted for any other cases, or was this an isolated situation between he and his only victim, Jessica, or did he have other victims, do you know?
Well, from what we gathered, that he was in the Savannah, Georgia area for a period of time. As a matter of fact, a television station back in 05 or late 04 did a story about children sexually abused, and they went to a bar, and there was John Cooey. Can you imagine that? It was just happenstance that he was there. But he had obviously been convicted before, and they knew who they were looking for as soon as little Jessica went missing.
Well, let's move over to Putnam County. They're saying something's fishy in the Haley Cummings case. You know, what's going on with that particular case, and is there any coincidences, such as with Jessica's situation, where, you know, people are talking and might have not been talking to police?
Well, the Putnam County Sheriff's Department got this case handed to them a couple of months ago in February when Haley Cummings went missing out of the trailer that she shared with her mother and father. It was her daddy's girlfriend. And what happened is they have investigated this case to the nth degree. They have gone through garbage dumpsters. They have gone through local lakes. They have gone through anything. and they cannot find a trace of little Haley Cummings. Some of the other developments that came up in this case recently, Michelle, was the fact that somebody had said that there was a party around that period of time when she went missing, and she may have taken an overdose of prescription medication like OxyContin or oxycodone, and died from that. They didn't know what to do with the body, so they don't know where the body is right now, if there is a body. As you know, Florida is, I guess our state reptile would be the alligator, and there's plenty of them out there in the waterways of Florida, and she only lived a short distance away from the lake that was filled with those animals.
Right, but, you know, for me, born and raised in South Florida as well, I'm just having a difficult time understanding both with Haley and Kaylee and all the other cases. You have thousands in Florida of missing children, and it seems like the alligator or the crocodile, if you will, always gets the bad rap and is an easy way out. I mean, we heard from Teresa, the grandmother, on Nancy Grace indicate that, you know, that particular pill, if somebody had shoved it in her mouth, you know, she would have put up a fight. I can't believe that these young alleged murderers, if you will, in Misty and Casey's case and such, that they're so smart that they can hide a body, especially one of that of their child, without some kind of trace evidence leading back to them. That means they can do a crime better than the people that have been doing crimes all their life. So that's hard for me to understand, but I know Teresa doesn't believe she was overdosed. What's reporters saying out there on that?
Well, the deal is, this is just one of the theories, because they have, Putnam County Sheriff's Office, their investigators, have literally come to a dead end in this case. And that surfaced from someone, I'm not sure who brought it to the surface. And sometimes it's plausible to think that she could have taken an overdose. Just you know, nobody shoving it down her mouth, Michelle. Just somebody, you know, just her going up and saying, oh, this looks like candy. Or opening up a box, you know, with this product in there, because kids, as you know, are very curious. And that could have happened. Well, I have cats that are very curious, and
that are very curious, and everything goes into their mouth. So I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm saying that it just seems so unlikely that she would have died of an overdose of sorts that that Misty and her entire family were able to hide this precious little girl and live with that, you know.
And the sheriff's office is coming back to say that Misty Crosland Cummings holds the key to this, and she's not talking. That's what it's come down. That's right now where we stand, is the fact that Misty, the Ronald Cummings' girlfriend and wife at the age of 17, holds the key to the entire thing. You know, one time the brother said there was a guy dressed in black that came into the house. We don't know where
that came up last night, actually, on Levi Page's blog talk show. And they had John Gaspar on there that actually did the hypnotizing, the forensic hypnotizing of Misty Cummings for Tim Miller. My question was it ever suggested or offered at no cost or whatever the case may be from Tim or from anyone else for that matter to Crystal and Ronald to put Junior under? And see, because, you know, again, Junior comes out with this stuff about a man dressed in black, blah, 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 and everybody blames Crystal for putting that into his head. Well, if it's true, why not put him under and see what he remembers?
You know, you're preaching to the choir here on that, because everybody should have been either given a polygraph test or have gone under hypnosis to get the truth from these people. you know, I can't help but think that Ronald Cummings married this gal, married Misty, just to keep her mouth shut. I think he may know more than what he's saying. Because here's the deal, is in Florida, spouses can't testify against their other spouses. So it could be he married her because she may know something, and he doesn't want that to come out.
That could be, or you marry your suspected girlfriend and your daughter's disappearance to keep your friends closer and your enemies closer, or however that saying goes.
Yeah,
yeah. Keep your friends closer, your enemies closer.
Something along that line. But see, he, you know, Ronald has a history of violent behavior. He is.
That came out on Geraldo, I think.
He spent some time in the Putnam County Jail for assaulting his brother-in-law, Misty's brother. And you know, this guy has a little violent past. Who knows? You know, and getting back to the Gator theory, and you hit it on the head about Gators getting the bad rap, but they don't leave much behind. I'll tell you that.
No, they don't. But I would think that. The dogs hitting on the garbage container in the back of
yep.
the yard and things of that nature, that something transpired there. You know, I'm not an investigator. I'm not a law enforcement, any of that. But one would conclude that if two dogs hit on the corner of a garbage container and yet nothing was inside after they took it all out, one would conclude she was running away from somebody and hit her head and maybe died that way, or they got so scared they took her. But if you're throwing her into a pond that they just recently drained, from what I understand, that even an alligator wouldn't eat the entire individual and would leave some kind of trace evidence or DNA behind, I would surmise, but I guess that would be a question for a forensic expert, but I would think that there would be some kind of trace evidence of animal activity, if you will.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. These cadaver dogs are just absolutely super. If you recall in the Casey Anthony case, is that they hit on several places in the Anthony's backyard, and obviously, there wasn't a body there, but there could have been a small body there for a very short period of time. Decomposition happens 4 minutes after the person is dead. That's when the body starts decomposing. So she could have been dead a very short period of time, died right there, but you would still pick up on that scent, and the dogs obviously would hit on that scent.
Yeah, I would think that would be the case. But then again, when you look at the family dynamics, and unfortunately, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, Mark, whether it's the Anthony family, the Cummings family, the Sheffields, any of them, or any of us for that matter, when our life is an open book because of a situation of this nature, I believe that anybody's life, if put under a magnifying glass, would not be squeaky clean. So I do feel bad for these families that, you know, Ronald may not have a damn thing to do with this whole situation, which I believe he's been ruled out and things of that nature. But,
yes.
You know, for him to then have to go through the whole thing with between he and Crystal, and then Crystal's life under it's not about that. It's about the fact that they entrusted an individual to take care of the kids, and she's done nothing but lie. She's done nothing but lie. You know, from one minute to another, you know, something about being under the bed. When we see the pictures on Nancy Grace, there's no way to get under the bed.
The mattress is on the floor of this mobile home. That's
exactly.
And I agree with you. There was just no way for the kid to crawl under there whatsoever.
And there's a bathroom in the master bedroom, so why leave it to go to the bathroom elsewhere? So everything, when you look at the entire case, you know, it's like, okay, her comments change drastically. But when you see how she can't even keep up with the truth, it's hard to fathom that she would have taken a body and been able to hide it.
Yeah.
And any of them in that case. I mean, when you hear them talk, when you hear them go back and forth, and you hear them defend each other and all of that, it's like, okay, well, this was something that happened on the spur of the moment. It wasn't premeditated. So how in the hell did they able to take this beautiful child and no trace of her whatsoever? That's hard to understand. And the one person that holds that key could be Junior, and yet nobody's taking what he has to say seriously.
Yeah. And, you know, could it be because of Junior's age? He's, what, 4 or 5? You know, could he have been imagining something? I'd love to see him under hypnosis just to see what he does, in fact, have to say. Would the truth come out of the child?
I'll tell you, children, you said you only have cats.
Yeah.
Well, I have two nieces that are like my daughters, and I'll tell you, my 2.5-year-old niece, she is sharp as a whip. You know, I mean, you ask her a question, she'll remember what you did a week ago, you know. And so it's like if Junior is 4 years old and stating what he saw, you know, forget the fact that, you know, you think Crystal might have put something in his head. Do something about it and see what else he saw.
Yep.
You know, he's the witness. He's the prime suspect, the prime witness in this entire case.
Yeah.
And yet I don't hear much about him anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to see how Putnam County handled this. And I think they got they found out what not to do, because the Anthony family and Casey Anthony live in the same what they call DMA television market as Putnam County, and I think they the investigators in Putnam watched a lot of what happened with the Anthony case, and they said, well, we're not going to take the cue off of that. We've learned there's a lot of bad lessons there. We're conducting our own investigation, and we're going to do our thing, and we're not going to follow anybody else. And they're pretty sharp up there in Putnam County, for being literally a rural county in the middle of Florida.
They are pretty smart because they're pretty tight-lipped, too. You don't see them doing interviews. You don't see them, calling the press every time they want to release documents and things of that nature. We'll get to the Kaylee Casey case in a second. But again, for anybody wanting to call in, the number is 347-838-8622. In regards to siblings, 4 years old versus 10 or what have you, just a reminder, you know, Elizabeth Smart's sister saw what happened too. And nobody believed that little girl except for her parents that kept hope alive. And Ed Smart and his wife and the rest of the family held on to what they knew was inside the sister that obviously was eating her alive, that she saw what happened and had to keep her mouth quiet. And who's to say that whoever or whomever went into that trailer that day in regards to the Haley case, that, you know, they didn't threaten Junior, you know. But to say not to believe a four-year-old, you know, this show is about voices for justice. Let's have a voice for justice where Junior's concerned, because he might hold the key to catching the person that is responsible for the disappearance of Haley Cummings.
I agree. I mean, you know, you gotta kind of take a lot of stock in what the kid is saying. There's no doubt about it. But here's the other thing that happened, is that one of the things when this case first broke is that, and I'm still divided on a lot of the stuff that happens in these cases, is that Ronald got on the air immediately with the media. I mean, it was a media circus right off the bat, okay? And friend now, his wife comes out and does the same thing. And, you know, just take a listen to those 9/11 phone calls that went into Putnam County, into their dispatch center. He's an angry young man, as we just talked about a couple of minutes ago. He used every word underneath the sun, and basically, if he finds out who took his little daughter, he was going to kill him. That's what it says on the tape. People that people are thrust sometimes into ungodly situations like this. These folks, and I hate to do this, Michelle, these folks have very limited education, okay? They see what they see on television. They saw Law and Order and all these other half-assed reality shows. And they get out there in front of the media, and their credibility is blown away within the first 3 minutes. One day, I was doing an afternoon talk show on the station I was working for at the time, and I says, Ronald needs a PR expert right off the bat. And a lot of these people don't do this. Ronald should have taken the hat off, gotten the haircut, taken off his little mustache that he can't grow, and cleaned up a bit so he can give himself some credibility.
His new attorney seems to have been able to provide that. A PR standpoint, I would still be keeping the entire family off of the air at this point.
Yep.
So that investigators can continue doing what they have to. But let Misty continue to talk, because that's the best way in a lot of cases to find out what's happened, because in many cases you'll see that the individuals that last saw the child or the individual, when they keep talking to media, the power of media comes back to bite them in the ass, because all of the sound bites that you all do then will indicate, you know, where they've lied, what they've said. And it's almost saying, you know, like the Kaylee Anthony case, don't send out any emails. You know, hey, in the recent document release of the Kaylee Anthony case, holy crap. You know, it's to me, you got to be careful with what you say and when you do it. But if you're the last person to see a child, the last thing you want that person to be doing is talking. So from a PR standpoint, I'd be telling them to shut up. But from an investigation standpoint, I'd be telling them, do this interview. Because in the end, all the interviews will be basically what bites them in the ass. Because sooner or later, they'll break and they'll say something they didn't mean to say.
And my other point I was going to make is, you know, with Ronald, Misty's the same way. I mean, come on, she left school in the eighth grade. Now they're both walking down the street. Now this video's seen worldwide, and they're smoking cigarettes, and they're doing this and doing that. My opinion of this right off the bat are these people, A, Ronald should have never had a kid, and B, what's Misty doing with them? And see, if I were somebody with the sheriff's department, I'd arrest somebody for selling them cigarettes because she's underage.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going down to the absurd.
But that's your opinion. Oh, what's happening? Is your wife sitting there telling you, okay, calm down, honey?
She's driving. Luckily, she has both hands on the wheel.
Good thing.
I'm coming from a mobile command center, in essence, okay? I'm in the passenger seat. My inverter's hooked up to the computer. That's hooked up into the cigarette lighter. And, of course, you know, I have the cell phone and I'm talking on my ear. So, I mean, I have the perfect setup right here. I can do radio shows like this.
What you reporters have to do, I'll tell you. If you want to know a little bit more about Mark Williams, our guest today on Voices for Justice, please go to his website at HalifaxAreaNewsWatch.com. And you can also find that at blogtalkradio.com/helping. He'll be taking your calls in a few minutes. I'm sure that many of the people in the chat room and things of that nature would like to ask you some questions, I'm sure, on the Kaylee-Casey saga. But if you'd like to call in with your questions, again, that number is 347-838-8622. Before we move on, any last thoughts about the Haley Cummings case and where you see it going, Mark?
I'm just going to keep watching it. In Florida has, you know, you've lived in Florida. I live in Central Florida. And in North Florida, yes, they have four different seasons. I think once the fall hits down there in another month or so, I think they're going to find some new evidence, which has been buried or at least covered by the foliage that's down there. And I think probably December, January, when it really gets cold in North Florida, I think the investigators from Putnam County will discover something. And
so you're saying you think she's deceased?
I think she's deceased.
No chance of her being in Ohio, from what I understand, or New York, or the Pacific Coast, or any of that. You believe she's deceased?
We're still getting sighting reports of little Kaylee in like Puerto Rico and places like that. I know one night on the Nancy Grace show, I said, show me the videotape. And nobody's been able to show anybody videotape. Got it from the airport, and they got it from the mall, but it certainly wasn't little Kaylee who was missing. I think she's, as we say in the business, she's 10-7. She's no longer with us.
Somebody else that's not with us is Carly, who was kidnapped and killed by Joseph. Didn't that conviction take place this past week or so out in Florida?
That took place a while ago. That was the Carly Brucia case.
Right.
And Joseph Smith. And the deal is Joseph Smith kidnapped little Carly Brucia from a car wash. And that was all caught on videotape. And that happened in 2004. And Smith was convicted for sexually assaulting and murdering little Carly Brucia, who was, 9, 10 years old at the time. And that was a case which was absolutely brutal. Smith apparently knew the family. He was arrested on February 6th of 2004, and he was a father of three and a car mechanic. And he decided to take Brucia because the connection between him and Carly is that he was his mother's former drug dealer. Go figure.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. You know, there are so many things I say as a journalist and so many things I sometimes say as a patient. And it just, you know, there are things that I've got to get off my chest sometimes. I mean, he's spending time in jail now, and hopefully he's being sexually assaulted by someone.
And hopefully what did he get, life sentence without possibility of parole?
Something along that line, yeah.
Well, hopefully that will stick. I'm not a firm believer too much about the arrest these days where you get 50 to life without the possibility of parole when you see what's happened with the J.C. Dugard case. It's like, you know, and it happens every day. You just don't hear about people getting out of prison and things of that nature. But,
This Smith individual, Joseph Smith, was convicted on November 17th of 2005 of a first-degree murder, kidnapping, capital sexual battery. And on a vote of 10-2, there was the jury returned a recommendation for the death penalty, and that happened a day before Carly was supposed to turn like 14. So he is still in the slammer. Nobody has signed the form for him yet.
You're so funny. you say it like it is, Mark. You say it like it is. One other question in regards to some of your other cases. I had the opportunity at an Amber Ready conference in New York recently to meet the family of Aji Dazar. Has anything been coming of that case, or Jennifer Casey, or Trenton Duckett, any of those other cases in Florida that people have heard of?
What's interesting about that is the Trenton Duckett case. This is Nancy Grace has been sued by the Duckett family because they put Melinda Duckett on the air, and she grows her heart, and she went home and took her own life. Anytime you go on with Nancy Grace, you've got to be prepared for all the hard questions. I am every time that I do a show with her, and I'm not even in trouble with anybody. Some of the other cases you mentioned, the one out of the Orlando area, that has led nowhere. They thought they had a suspect on videotape, but the videotape is so fuzzy that they could never get anything out on that. And that was the Kessie case. And on that Kesey case, recently they did another search, and they didn't come up with anything. And, you know, even before living in Florida 19 years ago, Michelle, there was a case back in, I think, 1986. We were coming down to visit, go to the Daytona 500 that Sunday. We came down on our motorhome that we had at the time, and there was a case where this girl, co-ed, disappeared from the campus of the University of Florida, never to be seen again. She disappeared. She just vanished. Nobody knows. It was without a trace. And that case has never been solved.
That you have a lot of cases in Florida that haven't been solved and fall off the radar, at least from the media standpoint, where, you know, follow-up is constant. And it's hard. It's real difficult to keep the faces and cases visible at all times when you're dealing with over a million people missing in this country alone. You know, where every day 2,100 children, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, 2,100 children go missing each day. And most people think it's at the hands of a stranger, and yet most of those can be brought back to the family. And so only about 58,000 cases of children actually are at the hands of a stranger. And so a lot of these cases that we know were at the hands of a stranger, such as in Jessica Lunsford's case, Aji's and Jennifer's, you know, and possibly Haley's, with those kind of cases, you know, fall off the radar if there's not constant information. But in Florida, as we go into the Kaylee Anthony saga here, the case, you're right about Putnam County. They're doing a damn good job keeping things under wraps. And that is the best way to do an investigation, in my estimate, because I'll tell you, you know, and I know I'm going to get all this hate mail. I already feel it coming on. But with the Kaylee Anthony case, I'm telling you, I already feel it. You know, I'm getting the anxiety. But on the Kaylee Casey Anthony case, to release the documentation and to have investigators build a case against somebody to make the world hate her before they have the facts, it's mind-boggling that they would continue to release documents. And in recent releases, the documents that are being released, you can't tell me that they have to release certain documents. They're releasing what they want to release, first of all. And secondly, from my standpoint, from looking at all of these documents, because a lot of them I'm in, so I want to make sure that they're accurate. I want to know, Mark, why it is that things that we have been told by investigators, family, reporters, media, all of that, the one person that could slam dunk in and make it the smoking gun is the FBI, and the FBI cannot back up anything we've been told for a year. Why is that?
Well, you know, and you hit the nail on the head. There was a report out this week in some of the documentation, and I'll get back to why they release all this documentation in just a moment. Okay. But first off, in the thousand pages of documents that they released, there was a FBI report, or there was FBI information they were emailing each other, the investigators were, and they said, first off, we think, and it's pretty conclusive, that there was a child in the back of Kaylee Anthony's Pontiac Sunbird. We can see the body outline, the fetal position. We can see, you know, a leg where it was. We can see the hind of the person, so on and so forth. But they said, but we can't draw any conclusions on this because we're not here to conclude. We're just here to present the investigate our evidence to whoever. And so that's what they've done. They put it out there, and they put it in email form. But then you have a case of the FBI agent in the lab, a female, where just in the documentation, it shows that apparently she mixed her DNA with some duct tape that was found around Kaylee's little body, around her head. And so her DNA got matched up, so there was no conclusive deal. So the convictions can come on a lot of different things. First off, they have the air samples taken out of the trunk of Casey's car.
They have one hair sample. They have one string of hair that they could prove that it was not from anybody using foreign chemicals such as dye in their hair.
Well, and here's the other thing is that hair sample, the DNA on that hair sample, didn't match anybody. They didn't match Casey. It didn't match Mama. Didn't match anybody in the family. So where did this come from? So let's go back to the documentation, why it's been released.
Before you mention the documents, Mark, I'm sorry. You were talking about the duct tape, okay?
Yeah.
Now, going back to what I just mentioned about the Haley Cummings situation, you've got a 20-year-old, you know, a 21-year-old mother that loved her child from everything I've seen, everything I've read. I've talked to Casey. I've been in that house many of times. And there is plenty of love to be seen. And nobody can doubt that. Even Nancy Grace herself has stated that. Okay? So here we are. Now you're saying, first of all, we never heard about the duct tape being put on postmortem from investigators and FBI. We heard that first and foremost from Leonard Padilla. Okay, so the duct tape's been put on postmortem. How in the hell does a mother who does not know how to do a crime, had never had any run-ins with the law, know how to kill her daughter, wrap her up with duct tape numerous amounts of time, and not leave any DNA and forensic proof to lead back to her whatsoever? How do you do that, but yet a forensic expert that is knows what the hell she's doing leaves her DNA behind?
Yeah, well,
explain that to me,
sure.
That because I'm having a difficult time understanding why it is that there is not a damn stitch of evidence against any of the Anthonys in forensic science, but yet the one person that could slam dunk this case screwed up and her DNA is found.
Well, and you know, I can't even go back through the theories. I mean, there's been so many theories tossed out there, Michelle. Every time, you know, new information comes out, or new documentation, there are so many twists and turns. I told Nancy one night, this is like driving down Lombard Street in San Francisco on a dark, rainy night, because in a limousine, because you can't do it. And every time there's a piece of documentation that comes out, you know, you go, what and huh? Casey Anthony, if she is the person responsible for it, I think she was on her computer in March, several months before little Kaylee died, and the date has been put around the 6th or 7th of June.
She was on her computer.
And she researched a lot of things on Google. Arsenic, you know, she watched that television show, One Tree Hill, things of that nature. And she could have used gloves. She could have watched the last issue of Law and Order, where everybody uses gloves so they don't,
yeah,
so they don't contaminate the evidence. It's a theory. That's my theory.
If you're using latex gloves with duct tape, wouldn't it pull and rip the latex material onto the duct tape? And furthermore, let's go with this freaking duct tape, because, you know, I'm having difficulties, because despite the freaking bloggers, yes, I'm talking to all of you listening today, my only intention was to come into this and help the Anthonys get the message out there about finding Kaylee, because I had every reason to believe this child was alive. And I had more proof to show me she was alive than proof to show me she was dead. It was all circumstantial. So I went with my gut instinct, and it might have blown up in my face, but the fact is it's about Kaylee, and it's always been about Kaylee, at least with me. And if I've wrapped Kaylee Anthony's mouth and face and skull with duct tape. And now all of a sudden, despite the elements of Florida, when evidence can be found from a forensic expert or an analyst or somebody at the FBI and they leave their DNA behind, don't you think that some stitch of residue or tissue or DNA of Kaylee Anthony, when the decomposing elements were starting to take place, that her DNA would have been on that duct tape? It's not. So
yeah.
how do they explain that one?
I'm not here to
release Casey. I want to know why it is that for a year, and you mentioned the computer, Mark, and you and I agree to disagree like all the other reporters. But with the other situation with the computer, she had a laptop, which was found at her boyfriend's house. I'm not putting blame on anyone, but when you look at one of those guys that she was courting or had a relationship with, who had the chloroform stupid advertisement on his website, no less, who's to say that somebody had not, used her computer? Because Kaylee Anthony didn't upload that chloroform photo on his website. He did. She does come from a father that's a police officer, and I, for the life of me, I can't seem to understand why it is that, again, she's done all this crap, allegedly, and then all of a sudden, she's not taking a plea, and there's no forensic evidence, so.
She holds the key to all this, Michelle. She is the person that holds all the evidence. Well, yeah, my question is, take a plea. Do whatever you need to do,
She never has. The death sentence has been on the table twice now, and she never took a plea.
She is so silent about this. And here's what could have happened, and here's another thing. My theory is, if the kid fell in the pool, if the kid was choked accidentally, why didn't you call 911 and get Orange County Emergency Services out there? That would have cleared you. You explained what happened. I lost my temper. Little Kaylee was in the way, and I offed her. It would have been,
I completely agree with that. Why wait 31 days? But then again, if you think your child is alive and well until mom gets on your case, where is my granddaughter?
So the trail doesn't go. And you don't blame it on Zenaida Gonzalez. Zenaida Gonzalez is going to take her little ass to court big time.
Well, remember, she never admitted. Now, Mark, come on. She never admitted that was her. Police showed her a photo of that Zenaida Gonzalez. Her name is not Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, first of all. And secondly, when they showed her the picture early on in her first arrest, she did not know who that lady was. So she did tell the detectives that.
She obviously took her name from when she visited the apartment. Now, she's a master of deception. Kaylee Anthony is that master of deception, because she wrote bad checks on her friend's account, on Amy Huizinga's account. You see her going through the Target with something there for Kaylee. Food, okay? But let me get back to one of the things, and this is where I sometimes get into opinion. But I'll tell you if it's opinion or not.
I'll let you have the whole airtime for that. Go ahead.
Well, first off, the reason why all these documents are coming out is the Orlando Sentinel files a Freedom of Information Act. We have a very strong sunshine law here in the state of Florida that people don't understand. I visited a friend of mine who was a photojournalist in Pennsylvania. He says, all these things are released. We could never do anything like this. I says, we have this Freedom of Information Act. We have the Sunshine Law. The Orlando Sentinel says, their lawyers say, we want this, this, and this. We want everything that you have. And so the prosecution sends it out in dips and drabs, as soon as they get 1,000 pages worth. Everything is open in the state of Florida, okay? That's why all that information is coming out. And it's been compounded by some of the things, and you and I are going to may disagree on this, of what Cindy Anthony had to say about the rotting teats in the back of the car.
I agree.
Was so much Barbara Streisand, I almost choked. Okay, because Channel 9 and their I-team did the pizza bit. They went out and bought the same type of pizza, same manufacturer, put it in the back of one of their news wagons. And you don't get the smell of rotting pizza. You don't see maggots. The Georgia
No,
Anthony,
I agree. No, I would agree with you there, and again, I will not, you know, argue the fact that the Anthonys definitely need to take direction and do what like Brad Conway's making them do now. They're not talking much, and that's the way it should have been all along, to be honest.
Well, they had Mark Dejame as an attorney, Michelle, if
and
you remember.
He's great.
Mark Dejame is number one in my book. Okay, he was the only person to shut Nancy Grace down live in the air one night, and my jaw dropped because DJ went for her juggler.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me, and I'm surprised she had him backed up, to be honest.
That was great TV, Michelle. You've got to keep that in mind. But DJ, for a long time, told the Anthonys, shut the hell up.
Yeah,
shut up. Like, zip it, zip it, zip it. They would not do that. Don't go near your computer. Don't send any emails. Don't talk to the media. They would not do it. Now, here's the thing that gets me is that the Anthonys and Brad Conway now are trying to plant a seed of doubt about the entire thing. They've been on the CBS Morning Show, and I've seen the cuts off of that a couple of months ago. I called it the Save Me Tour 09. Okay.
Is that going to be part of the 48 Hours mystery special on the 17th of this month that has that they're marketing about Cindy Anthony?
It could be. But here's the deal. They were on the Today Show. Conway was on the Today Show. And I think Conway's an upstanding guy because he's from Brevard County. And the reason he's in a wheelchair, he had a surfing accident when he was a teenager. But they were on this tour trying to plant seeds of doubt. And now they're saying, well, Casey never did it. It was somebody else. And they've been trying to plant this on Jesse Grund, who's an upstanding guy. I got an email the other day from Jesse because of my commentary on my website. And it was a deal where I had to get things off my chest because I was not included on a hit list, and I was pissed off about that, okay?
Yeah, let's talk about that hit list. You've brought that up to me many a times. I was actually glad that I wasn't on it, but I didn't expect to be. I was supposed to be at the memorial service in February, but
sure.
I had just had surgery. So, But I know that bothers you, Mark. Why?
It does. It bothers me.
Hit list. What we're talking about, folks, is the list that Dominic Casey, the Anthony's private investigator, had put out in regards to not allowing certain individuals into the memorial service, which Nancy Grace was on and Kathy Bellish, and Mark wasn't, so he's ticked. So tell us, why are you upset? The hit list, you call it.
Let me plant my tongue firmly in cheek. I've done almost 100 shows, Nancy Grace shows. I've gone from an hour to, you know, just a one-question deal. But the deal is I thought I'd be on the hit list because of the notoriety, and every time we did the show, here's Mark with the headlines. I was the guy delivering the headlines. And Padilla's on the list, and Rob Dick's associates on the list, and a guy who's not even a journalist but drives around in an old EMG van is on the list.
Oh, God, that guy is, oh, my God.
Mr. News is not on the list. Why is that? And I just put it in my commentary.
That's what he is, Mr. News? I just know him as, his name, Warwick or something?
No, I'm Mr. News.
Oh, okay.
My license plate, my car says Mr. News, and I've been called Mr. News for 20 years, and it's kind of a big running joke with everybody that I know. But anyway, and I said, why wasn't I on this list? I says, if anything, I'm the guy who said, all of a sudden you had this dysfunctional family, and now it's gone through the roof. And you can read that in the office window section on HalifaxAreaNewsWatch.com. You can find the hit list. But then I got into it with Dominic Casey, who I've never met. But just from what I can see, and, you know, there's a lot of things on the surface, that really You know, you see things on the surface, but when you meet somebody, things change completely. That this guy's a charlatan. Who the hell's paying him? Who the hell hired him? And what's he doing cutting into paper, into bags out there near the murder scene? And he's being instructed by people saying, by an attorney that says, if you find the body, don't call anybody. This guy,
well, that's hearsay also. You know, that's hearsay. So I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not a defense attorney. But I do know, you know, in a particular case like that, Dominic
is going to come up in trial.
Jose Baez said. So if it comes up in trial, then that's one thing. But at any rate, you know, to play devil's advocate there, it's hearsay.
That's
but
fine.
In regards to, you know, Dominic, you know, sometimes you just never know who people are. That's all I can say because I thought I knew him pretty well, and obviously I didn't. But I didn't make the hit list either, so, but I'm not crying about it because it's a good thing I wasn't on somebody's list.
Well, you know,
I had a question for you, though, Mark. Somebody in the chat room, my friend just sent me over. There's a question in regards to, do we know who the father of Kaylee is?
Well, here's the deal. Nobody knows who the father of little Kaylee is.
But Lee and Jesse both have been ruled out, right?
Yeah, and here's a couple of things. First off, Jesse Grund is so straight, and so is his dad. They're unbelievably individuals. I've never met Jesse Grund. I got an email from him the other day. I met his father during the show.
Hold that thought 1 minute, Mark. We have 90 seconds, folks, so if you want to continue listening and calling in with questions, feel free and call 347-838-8622. We won't last too much longer, but we will be going over the time and the streaming video will end. So please call 347-838-8622. Finish your thought there, Mark.
Jesse Grund manned up right away and said, listen, okay, we don't know who the father is. Let me take a paternity test, which he did. It came back. He was not the father. He and his family, the Grunds, accepted Casey and Kaylee and the rest of the Anthony family into their lives, okay? Now the Anthony family are trying to pin the murder of little Kaylee on Jesse. Jesse didn't do it. His father didn't do it. His father still has a Screen Actors Guild card. He appeared on the first couple of episodes of Miami Vice. How's that for investigative reporting?
That's good, Mark. That's really good. Now, let me ask you, though, in regards to the father, Jesse Grund's been ruled out. Lee Anthony's been ruled out. Has George Anthony and Richard Grund and all the other boyfriends been ruled out, or have they stopped at Lee and Jesse?
The speculation there's a lot of speculation, but it was some people say, or some people close to the case say, it was an individual who she went to high school with, got tangled up, and he died in a traffic accident. That has yet to be verified. Channel 9's even gone knocking on doors on several occasions.
You're talking about Jesus Ortiz, who also had a relative in his family name, Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, actually, ironically.
Okay. But anyway,
how's that for investigating reporting?
That's good. Send me the family tree. We'll figure this one out. But anyway, we officially do not know who the father is.
Okay. So that's been – and to answer the chat room individual that dropped an email, in regards to George Anthony, no, I've never heard that rumor. I've never I know nothing about that. I know that Grandpa, nobody in this case has been officially cleared, but I know George pretty well. But then again, you know, do we ever know anybody well? But I would not agree with that question. So, but moving on, this week, the attorney, go ahead.
Don't let everybody send you all the nasty email. They could email me,
yeah,
too.
Send them to Mark, everybody. Send them to Mark.
Mr. News 70, MRNEWS 70, at yahoo.com. I need something to read while I'm on the train.
Yeah, there you go, folks. Drop Mark an email. You can also go to Halifax News, Halifax Area Newswatch.com, and drop them an email and keep them busy for a few hours. regarding Brad Conway's comment this week about the Anthonys, say that Casey didn't murder her daughter. It was someone else. Unless I've missed something. George and Cindy, despite their concerns in the beginning and everything else, I have never heard them ever agree that Casey didn't murder her daughter. So, to me, this is old news, but is there something new to it?
Well, you know, I went back over some things that happened this week, especially with Brad Conway, and he is just going out and preaching the gospel that somebody else did this. He's part of, and I don't want to use the word conspiracy, but we will use it to plant that seed that somebody else murdered the child and that Casey's innocent. Now, he's so deep into this right now, he can't pull back. And again, he's an upstanding attorney, but I think he's now drinking the Casey Kool-Aid.
I take offense to that. According to bloggers, I've drank a lot of that Kool-Aid. I should be turning red by now.
Well, you know, how should I say this? You work in Guyana with Jim Jones, so don't worry about it. It's just an expression. It's just an expression that has popped up. A lot of expressions have popped up in this case, and that being the confident one.
But again, you know, I've heard Brad say that before. I've heard Jose say that. I've heard Andrea Lyons say that. I've heard all of them say that. And I've also heard the Anthonys from the beginning and Casey say that she's never harmed Kaylee. So to me, whatever came out this week, and I missed Brad's presser, but I must be missing something because, again, If that's what he just made a presser about, then that's old news because I've never heard them ever agree that she's done a crime against her daughter. So,
well, also Jose Baez, the attorney for her, and Linda Kenny Bowden, they were on the Today Show this week. You know, they were saying that new evidence released by the state proves the prosecution doesn't have a case against Casey. Well, if that is the case, why is Jose Baez getting continuations in this case, hasn't asked for a change of venue. As far as I know, he hasn't, because I would have been over that like white on rice due to the fact that there's not that many places that have not been tainted by what has gone on. The only place I think they could hold a trial is in South Florida, the panhandle of the state. Those are the two places where television
I disagree. The only place probably that they could go where nobody really knows much about this case would be on the Pacific Coast. In the whole state of Florida, I don't see it happening just because no matter where you go, it's been all over the airwaves on the East Coast about this case.
Listen, a friend of mine was in a bar.
At least in Florida.
Well, a friend of mine was in a bar in Taiwan. He's very successful in the digital imaging field, and I had not talked to this gentleman in probably 30 years. But when I was working in Binghamton, New York, he and I were pretty good friends. He says, I couldn't believe it. I was in this bar. I was watching Nancy Grace, and your face showed up. Now, that's the Pacific Rim. He was in the Pacific Rim. He was like in Indonesia or someplace like that. So this story has international implications.
It really, truly does. I would have to say. But I just know that when we were doing a media blitz in regards to video footage and
sure.
still shots, which you brought up, I'm going to go back to that in a minute. We do have a caller for you, Mark. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Mark Williams? Hello? Hello? From 831 area code?
Hello. Good morning. This is Yolanda, and I'm calling from Monterey, California. Good morning, Block Talk Radio audience.
Hey. Yolanda, how are you?
I'm okay. I just was looking for a show that I usually listen to on Sunday mornings, and I ran across your advertisement here on the Block Talk Radio page with Katie's little beautiful face on. I said, oh, somebody's having a show about Katie. Let me see what this is about. Because I think she's so wonderful.
Yolanda?
Yeah, I was just saying that I was typing some things here in the chat room, and maybe my perception is wrong, but it seemed like people were jumping on me about saying that Grandpa might be the father. I truly believe she is an incest baby and that family is evil.
Mark, any comment?
Well, yeah, I have a comment. Now, the closest thing that we've ever had to anything dealing with incest in this case was when Casey and Lee were younger. Lee Anthony, according to documentation, tried to do nasty with Casey one time. That is as close to
yep.
Okay. No, this is not an incest case. I'll bet next week's paycheck on that. Wait a minute, I don't get.
But we're not sure it's not an incest case yet. We're not sure, right? I could be wrong. I agree with you. It could not be. But I'm just saying that's what I believe right now. And when something else comes out different, then I'll believe different if they have the proof. But right now, I believe it's an incest case.
Yeah, well, I don't think it is. And we'll see when it comes out to trial. Because if she is under oath and Casey takes the stand in her own defense, one of the first questions out of an attorney's mouth is going to be, who is Kaylee's father? And she's got to fess up. She just can't say.
Well, in terms of them checking Lee, and I think you said some other people and stuff like that, why hasn't the media come out with the fact that Grandpa is not the father? Why haven't they put that out?
Mm-hmm. Well, the grandfather's been ruled out of just about anything. Let me tell you about something that one of my sources told me is that one time George Anthony tried to got Cindy out of the house. He had a weapon, a handgun, hidden away in the back of his Chevrolet HHR in the spare trial.
Well, you can look in George's eyes and see he's crazy as all get out.
Well, let me tell you, and word had it that once he got Cindy out of the house, he was going to blow away Casey and then take his own life. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's how crazy this case has become. Because detectives, one Saturday morning, raided his house and found the weapon.
Well, he tried to commit suicide. And I think he did that because he wanted to come out that baby was his.
Well, the suicide attempt at Daytona Beach was bogus from the word go. Because being an ex-law enforcement officer, he was calling everybody up. He was on speed dial with everybody. They finally got a ping on that phone, and they found him at the Hawaiian Motel on Ridgewood Avenue. I'm very familiar with that section of that city because I worked in Daytona Beach for the past 15 years. The deal was the chief came around, Chief Chitwood, who's a great guy for Daytona Beach, came around, offered him the professional courtesy, put him in an unmarked car, took him to Halifax Area Medical Center, put him up in the Baker Act, and put him up in the psych. And the deal was, as George told the nurse, I didn't try and commit suicide. I didn't take any pills.
Wow. I have never heard that angle on it before.
Just go to my website, HalifaxAreaNewsWatch.com. Go to the section, the office window, and you'll see all that in there.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I just want the case to come to fruition so we can find out who did what to this child and then get them put in jail or the death. I don't believe in the death penalty, but if they want to give it to them, I guess they can. I just believe in life imprisonment because we don't have the right to take other people's lives just because they did. But whatever happens, I just want the baby to be, you know, to have – excuse me?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, though. Put yourself in their position. If your daughter is in jail for a crime that has obviously gone to a grand jury and everything, and you've been arrested, and now you're waiting a death sentence, what do you call it, a capital case in Florida, but not a stitch of forensic evidence and evidence of any kind could lead back to your daughter, would you be saying the same thing?
But forensic evidence does lead back to her. They found
the
imprint of the baby's body, the baby's fluids and hair in the back of the trunk, so she does have forensic evidence. But personally, I don't believe in the death penalty at all. So.
Well, taking that off the table, but you know, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, stuff, and you know, I'm not here.
But let me tell you something. If my child did a crime, you know what I would, what Yolanda would do? I call the police. If I knew for a fact that my child did it, I'm gonna call the police and turn you over. You know, Mama taught you better than that. I'm gonna turn you right on over to the law.
Did call police because they hadn't seen their granddaughter, and so they did call police and have Casey arrested on what was it, July 16th, Mark? So
yeah,
because they knew something was going to happen. They knew it was going to eventually lead back to Casey and to them. So they turned Casey over. She's the one that they turned over, so all of them wouldn't have to go.
But they didn't have her arrested because they felt as if she killed their granddaughter.
They know she did.
They had her arrested, right, but I'm just saying, I'm asking you a question. If your daughter is in jail and forensic evidence from the FBI has come out and not a damn thing can put you at a scene of a crime, not a damn thing can show that that child died in your hands and in your custody, would you be saying the same thing if your daughter...
No, I wouldn't. But in this case,
okay,
the evidence does point toward her.
But no evidence does. Mark, am I...
Yeah, the stickers on her mouth from her bedroom. I think there was a little book from her bedroom. The hair.
It's all speculation.
All I got to say is God knows and God watches everything. And people with common sense know what's going on with this case. And they want that Heifer and her family in jail.
And you know, we all need a voice for justice, and in this case, it is about Kaylee, but I have never been one to lock somebody up just because I can't stand them. You know, if...
No, it's not that. I feel sorry for her. I think she grew up in an incestuous family. I feel sorry for Casey. That's why I don't believe in it, definitely. Actually, across the board, I don't believe in it 100% anyway. But I feel sorry for Casey. I don't want to see her go to the electric chair. I want to see her be rehabilitated, but... be incarcerated for the rest of her life, and the family members also.
At the time, I would have to ditto that segment. But at this point, if this was my daughter behind bars, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, is there any forensic evidence and any kind of evidence whatsoever to show that Casey has done a crime?
Well, we have her on the check charges, but that doesn't relate to
That's not killing your daughter.
Here's the deal.
But what about the hair in the back of the car with the follicle on the end of it that says that she was dead while she was in that trunk?
And
what about the body imprint and her body fluids being in the car? The sticker on her mouth when the
could have been from any time, and I recall the Anthony stating that fact that
the hair could have been from any time, but the follicle at the end of the hair was that process that happens only after you are dead was the follicle on the end of the hair.
All of that is opinions that the FBI are not backing up with evidence. Correct, Mark?
They got the piece of hair, don't they?
They don't make any conclusions. They just pass what they discovered on to the local prosecutor, and that would be Lamar.
They discovered a piece of hair with a follicle at the end of a person who was dead.
You know, and
Mark,
it's funny.
So, Mark, in your line of work and covering all these cases, have you ever seen the FBI come out and actually say, yes, we 100% believe that, you know, we can put her...
You know what? I can end this right now. I'm not going to hold your time anymore. But when Mama called, it smells like there's been a damn dead body in the car. Because there was. End of story.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Well, you know,
Mark.
I know where you're coming from, but I think there's other evidence that they haven't even talked about yet in this case.
That might be.
I'm not here to scare anybody.
If Casey's done the crime, she needs to pay the time. If Cindy, George, Lee, the Grunz, whomever the case comes down to, if you've done it, you've got to serve it. I truly believe that. The death penalty is a whole different ballgame, you know. But at this point, for me, if this is my child sitting in prison or in jail since October 15th, I would be saying, show me proof that you've got a picture of my daughter doing this crime. Show me proof that her
Let me tell you one thing about that. You're saying show me proof. Stop your goddamn lying, okay? Cindy Anthony, George Anthony, stop your lying. What do you mean it was pizza in the back? And what do you mean you and your daughter just had a disagreement the day before Kaylee went missing? Cindy Anthony,
I agree
your
there.
Daughter, okay? You know,
and it's the same with the Haley Cummings case. You know, you want to get to the bottom of it. In the Kaylee case, you want to get to the bottom of it. All of these cases you want to get to the bottom of, and it's like, stop your talking, stop your lying, stop your fabrications, and let's find the child. And investigators did find the child, and that's a whole different ballgame stating when they found her. But
here's the other thing. There's been some screw-ups in this case from the word go, and it's not just George and Sid. That was my opinion. But by the same token, we have police officers, Orange County Sheriff's deputies, who fabricated information, and now they're gone. You know, because remember, we have the meter reader, Roy Kronk, who went to the woods, called somebody, called 911, and said, listen, I think I found something here, you know? And this happened last August. And the deputy came out, nothing happened, you know, and the deputy... Several other deputies came out on two other occasions. Finally, Kronk went over on December 11th, decided to kick the bag, and Kaylee's skull rolls out. What the heck? You know, there have been screw-ups from the police department as well. And usually cases like this that I've seen, Michelle, they're 4 days, and I thought this one was going to be maybe 3 days at the most. I thought they'd have this thing down pat. But the other problem is the fact that there's too many people in the Orange County Sheriff's Department opening up their mouths.
I'd have to agree there. All the way around, actually. The only person you haven't heard from has been FBI. And then everybody was waiting for that smoking gun with the FBI, and yet none of what they're coming out with can support anything we've been told by Orange County Sheriff's Department.
No.
So... that makes me question things, you know.
Well,
In regards to videotape and sightings and such, you know, I stand firm on the fact that when we released some photos and Fox News Orlando interviewed the women that spotted Kaylee and called in right away of the girl in the Florida mall, that child in November has yet, nobody has called in to say, what the hell is my kid doing on that TV show? You know, so you've got a child that's seen in November in a mall, and that wasn't the first time in a mall. Three or four times there were call-ins and leads. So you mentioned something about not having things, but when we released that, which we had to really think it out before we released that to Nancy and the world, that since then, still nobody has claimed that child. So how do you respond to that?
Well, there's always been a tug of war between the mall and the Orange County Sheriff's Office, okay? Because that video, it was taken in November, and I think it surfaced after her body was found. And the deal is the Anthonys wanted it, the attorneys wanted it, and the mall folks who are, I've run into mall people before, and they don't know about reality for the most part. And they're saying, well, you've got to go to the sheriff's office. They can have it. And the sheriff's office doesn't want it because they think their case is pretty well not wrapped up, but they don't need it because they have a body all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
I think you and I both can agree on one thing, that the delay, the expected trial date that was to be October 12th or something of this year, almost 1 year from the time the grand jury indicted Casey Anthony, that now here we are again pushing towards January, February, maybe March of 2010.
I don't think it's going to be over with. Well, you know, here's the deal. Is in Florida, most felony cases take a year, okay, to from the day of indictment to actually showing up in court. You know, we talk about March. I think it's going to be next spring sometime, maybe even early next summer.
Why the delay? If prosecution has their case airtight, as they say, why the delay?
Of course it's the defense. Now, you've got to take into consideration Jose Baez cannot try a capital case because he's not qualified. So what does he do? He has his alleged dream team of Dr. Lee and everybody else, and now they have Andrea Lyon from DePaul University, who came in town once or twice, looked around, showed up in court, and immediately Jose says, well, we got to bring her up to speed because this is a capital case, and she'll probably be lead chair in this thing. So that's what we have there. And let me tell you something else. You know how Casey Anthony came upon Jose Baez as her attorney? He's nothing more than a DUI attorney, okay, practicing in Osceola County. He has an office across from the jail down there. And that Osceola is a neighboring Orange County. She was in her holding cell, or she was in a holding cell with other prisoners. She says, I'm in trouble. Who can I go? Who's a good lawyer? And everybody said, oh, Jose Baez.
Yeah.
Is that quality representation? Or somebody out of their league? And I think he is way out of his league.
And he may be, but let's talk about the rest of the defense team.
Sure.
Like Andrea Lyons, like Bodden, and like all the forensic experts they've brought to the table. Let's face it, none of them that I've just mentioned, Henry Lee, Kobolinsky, Lyons, any of them, especially like Bodden and such, they don't need the media. They don't need – they're not selling a book like your Orange County medical examiner is right now. You know, you don't have all of these forensic experts that need to be in the spotlight, and if they are there for no money, or if they are there for the money, they don't need the money that bad. Why do you think they're all there on the table?
And in Baez's defense, Jose Baez's defense, if I was in his shoes, I'd want the best damn attorneys, nationally known attorneys, to represent my client or to help me on this case, especially if he thinks that she's innocent. Because, as I've told Grace several times,
how does an attorney like Baez, Mark, be able to bring all of these power hitters to the table when, you know, you're only an attorney for 3 years? You know, it took you, what, 4 or 5 times to take the bar and all of this. I know Baez, and I've never had a problem with him. But
I think he's a decent guy.
Yeah, I think he's a decent guy, and I think that he does have Casey's best interest at heart, obviously. But how does one warrant all of these power hitters in forensics and legal to come to the table for this kind of a case if there's nothing there for them to get out of it?
Well, my smart acre answer would say he has an agent, but he doesn't. I think, well, this trial, Michelle, as you know, has gained national notoriety. And I think what he did one day is, I'm a little bit out of my league. I think I'm going to go fishing for some big fish in this thing, trying to bring more national attention to this, some real good experts. And I think he and his staff made some phone calls. And they said, listen, I'm so-and-so, here's what I'm doing. And they say, I've seen your case, hey, let me come on board. And that's what it's come down to. I think that's what it is. I mean, you know, why else would Andrea Lyon give up part of her professorship or some of her teaching duties out of DePaul and come on board a case like this?
Well, you know, for Andrea Lyon, which, you know, if this was a family member of mine, I sure as hell would want her on board. She's never lost a case.
Sure.
Is that ever lost a case or just in Illinois?
That I couldn't tell you. I've heard that she's never lost a case. So,
but in this particular case, I don't see how, you know, remember, Baez had already had one person for capital representation at one point, some guy from South Florida, correct? That decided to blog about it and everything else later on, and he had been seen on Nancy Grace, too. But in this case, now he goes out and, you know, gets this big heavy hitter as Andrea Lyons is. But in retrospect, she's not going to get her off. The Orange County Sheriff's Department and the FBI screw-ups are going to get her off. Isn't that correct?
If that happens, I'm not going to make any sort of decision one way or another. I mean, I have my thoughts in this case, because there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, a lot of people have said a lot of things. Even, you know, one of the things I did, because I was working as a news director, radio, I do my grace appearance and I go to work because I was working morning duty. So one of the cuts I always use for the most part is the cut that Cindy Anthony made to the Orange County Sheriff's dispatcher. Smells like a damn dead body in the back of the car.
Yeah, that's what Yolanda said.
So incriminating. Because
yeah,
she allegedly is a
Anthony
first.
Anthony said the same thing in his statements with police also. And that is.
By the way, let me tell you where this case may be lost for the defense is if George and Cindy get up there and pull the same crap that they did in during the civil deposition in John Morgan's office and refusing to answer questions, you're going to see him held in contempt, and that's going to blow Baez's case right out of the water, out of Lake Tahoe, Toho.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, because they have, both of them have such short fuses.
Well, you shouldn't
especially
have to say you're sorry. The bottom line is we all want justice, and we all want
sure.
to have a voice for justice where Kaylee Anthony and Haley Cummings and Jessica Lunsford and Jennifer Casey and even Aji Dazar, all of them, we want a voice for justice for these kids. But we also want to make sure that, you know, fabrications and misleads and misguidance and screw-ups don't convict somebody that ultimately didn't do a crime either, whether it's Casey Anthony, Haley, Misty Cummings, or any of them. Despite what we all think about these people, you know, the bottom line is we want justice and we shouldn't settle for anything but. And that's my position on that.
A couple of things that have transpired in this. And I'll tell you personally. First off, my hat's off to Tim Miller. I've never met Tim.
Yeah.
We've shared the same show. He's in a different studio. But he and Texas EquiSearch, if you have a couple of bucks, send it to him. Because he puts his heart and soul into this Texas EquiSearch since he was a victim of crime. Secondly, I remember working in a newsroom in Georgia. 150th Market. I was the main anchor there, and I remember hearing something going, a fire call going in the scanner, and it turns out that they found a body of a little girl in there. She was a latchkey child. Okay, she was burned up. They finally arrested her neighbor. Okay, who lived three doors down. I forget the girl's name, and it shouldn't. But when I heard that, it almost brought tears to my eyes. Because I thought this should have never happened. Because I remember, you know, as a kid, I'd go to my grandmother's house, or the family unit was a lot more cohesive as it is today. She was left on her own devices by herself because the school district in Albany, Georgia, didn't have a latchkey child program. And she was killed because of this clown, and he's serving time right now. Hell, I'd pull the switch on him in a heartbeat.
See, something like that is justice. Jessica's situation, you know, it might be a cruel thing to say, but basically, you know, John got what was coming to him. Say that again?
There are people lined up. If you went out in the street and people heard about the Cooey case and the Joe Smith case and everybody else that has gone missing, and they're convicted, there are people lined up either to pull the switch or press the plunger at Stark on these people because it's just disgusting what happens in everyday life anymore.
And that's what concerns me about in the Casey Anthony situation, that what they've got better be more than circumstantial. Because
again, I think they're holding things close to their bed. They're holding things close to their bed, Michelle.
I'm sure they are. But my concern would be if this individual was a relative of mine, my concern would be that you better know what you're doing before she gets sentenced. Because one of two things will happen. She'll get harmed in jail, or she'll get harmed on the street if people don't show that she didn't do the crime. So
for all
of those bloggers and all of those detectives and investigators and FBIs and private investigators coming out of the woodwork to help this family, you better be helping the family because in the end, having the picketers on their front lawn was nothing compared to what's going to happen to this girl if she gets out of jail because of screw-ups from police, but yet you didn't prove her innocence because she'll be killed on the street. And secondly, if you don't prove her innocence, but she still gets sent off to jail, she'll be killed in jail. So somebody better be crossing the T's and dotting the I's, or you'll never find out what happened to Kaylee, and you'll have two deaths on your hands. And that's my only concern with this. If she's done the crime, she needs to pay the time. But
I agree with you. You're preaching to the choir on that one. I mean, you know, all the I's have to be dotted and the T's crossed, okay? And this will all come out in trial. Because I don't want to see the wrong person sent to prison. But here's the deal: she is segregated right now. She has a 12-foot by 8-foot cell. It's plexiglass, from what I understand. It's like 7 or 8 feet high. She can see out what's going on. People can watch and see what's going on with her. They won't put her in the general population in Orange County because of your concerns and of course of my concerns. I want to know what happens in this case. I want to see what the fruition is. I guess that's on my bucket list, that I want to see what happens in this case. And I don't want to see the wrong person sent to jail either. But, you know, you take a look at this, and people have asked me, why don't you write a book about this? I have all the information dealing with this case. I will not write a book about it because there's nothing to write right now because there's nothing's been finalized. What happened? And I know there's a book coming out. What happens if there's a book that comes out and it's wrong? I'm not going to do anything like that.
Yeah, and that's the same with me. I've been blamed for taking money. I've never taken a dime from the Anthonys. I've been told I'm writing a book. I'm not writing a book, and I made that promise to the Anthonys. I would never write a book to their case. Will I write a book on what families go through when this shit happens to them? Excuse my French on Blog Talk Radio, but yeah, I may do that because these families, despite how dysfunctional all of our families are, but when you're under a magnifying glass, obviously the worst comes out, that people understand what a family has to go through because there is not a handbook on how to deal with
That's
a situation
right.
like this. And so despite how people want to feel about the Anthonys, I have nothing bad to say about them personally because I like them both. I really came to love Kaylee Anthony. I also want justice for that baby. And if that means doing shows like this and stating my opinion and bringing on good people like yourself that we may agree to disagree, that, you know, the end result is the people that put her there better make sure she needs to be there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's the same for Misty Cummings because I can sit back and I can review everything that our friends like Nancy Grace and Jane Velez put out there and everything based on research and data given to you by authorities. But in the end, despite the fact that I think Misty is an idiot, I can't say the same about Casey because she has kept quiet all along.
Yeah.
She screwed up before she was lawyered up. That's the bottom line. Once she got lawyered up, you haven't heard two words from her. You know, she's admitted to two things. She did steal money and she did lie. But she did about taking police places. But she has never admitted doing harm to her daughter. And once she got lawyered up, she shut up. So there's something to be said about that, too.
Well, here's the one thing. You know, I've been on the beach since April 1st. And for you folks in California, it means you're unemployed. So I run my website. They won't let me do news on the radio. I'll do it on the website, and I'll kick everybody's ass, including my ex-employer, who don't know what the hell radio is all about. Their alleged broadcasters.
I've always liked you. I even defended you when Nancy Grace called you a cracker, and I got bloggers hitting me for saying that too. I said, Nancy Grace, Mark Williams is no cracker. I still don't understand what she meant by that, but.
But one of the other lines that she used one day was, "Mark," or, "Hey, Williams, toss me a bone." And I thought, on the floor with that. Because she comes from Macon, Georgia. I was an anchor reporter for 10 years in Albany, Georgia. I know exactly what she meant. When she says, "Shut your pie hole," I'm on the floor, because that is a Georgian expression through and through. And so is cracker. And people, natives of Florida, are called crackers, okay? But one of the things I've done, Michelle, is not only do I run MrNewsProductions.com, I'm also a broadcast consultant. After 35 years in the business, I can consult real, real big. And the first thing I would have said to the Cummings is, keep your pothole shut.
and I would have to agree with you there, both for the Cummings and the Anthonys and anybody else that goes on any kind of network. And yeah, and Nancy Grace, you know, I say it on every show that we do, Mark. Nancy Grace, I agree to disagree with her too. I don't agree with her tactics, but anybody that goes on her show needs to understand she's a prosecutor through and through. But first and foremost, she's a mother, and a proud mother at that. And, you know, these children do mean a lot to her, and she does want to have a voice for justice. So when you go on CNN, Headline News, Nancy Grace, Jane Velez, Joy Behar, any of those, you need to be ready for them, because they want – they want the exclusive, yes, but in the end, they want the answer to what happened to that child. And without their shows, without reporters like you, and without a lot of the media, the end result is nobody would know these children are missing, and nobody would be finding them. So from my standpoint, you know, as a publicist, media, you know, matters, and we thank you all for doing that. Again, folks, go to www.HalifaxAreaNewsWatch.com. Talk with Mark on one-on-one if you'd like. Get to know his thoughts. He has posted something about his rants and raves, a commentary about his hit list, why he wasn't on Dominic Casey's hit list. If you want to read that, you can go there. And every morning he posts updates. So, you know, keep going back and checking with him. And as things come out in these cases, we'll bring Mark back to all of you. And, again, Mark, we thank you for calling us live from the road. Tell your wife, your chauffeur, thank you very much.
And my email address is MrNews70, MRNEWS70@yahoo.com. And the reason it's Yahoo is I'm on the road. So and the reason many years ago, if I have just 30 seconds, I was called Mr. News because when I was working in Albany, Georgia, I did the early morning newscast. I did the noontime, 6 and 11, because it was vacation time or people were sick. So one of the audio guys comes out, he says, "You know, you're really Mr. News." And it's always stuck. So it's always been with me. And I also have a lot of credibility as a news guy since the mid-70s. And that's the one thing that it's tough to build, it's easy to lose. So I keep the credibility there.
Well, you've got credibility with us. And I hear the hate mail coming my way. But in the end, I appreciate folks like yourself, and we thank you for having a voice for justice, Mark.
Well, we're all in this together.
We are. We all want the same outcome. So keep checking his website. It's also listed on blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. I thank everyone for joining us and participating in the chat room as well as calling in. Thank you, Yolanda from California. And in the end, folks, you can either be the solution to the problem or you can be the problem. It's your choice. And we thank you all for having a voice for justice today. Thank you so much.
11 years.